Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Great to be back with you once again and to be keeping Shabbat with you. And I hope you are all doing well and staying healthy. And I thought we'd start out with a little bit of humor to get us all smiling this morning. So a boy with a monkey on his shoulder was walking down the road when he passed a policeman who said, Now, young lad, I think you'd better take that monkey to the zoo. The next day, the boy was walking down the road with the same monkey on his shoulder. Again, when he passed the same policeman, the policeman said, Hey there, I thought I told you to take that monkey to the zoo. The boy answered, I did. Today I'm taking him to the movies. Well, greetings to you from outside my comfort zone. And I take it that you are outside of your comfort zone. But praise the Lord, as of last Monday, our New York State government began implementing a plan to end the quarantine that we have been under. In our region of New York, which is the Finger Lakes, yesterday, phase one activities were begun, meaning the opening of businesses in agriculture, construction, manufacturing, and some retail stores. And if all goes well, and we don't experience a surge in virus infections, on May 29th, phase two activities will be allowed to begin, which will include administrative support, and we will be able to return to our congregation's office, but not to our meetings yet. If all goes well for those phases and another phase, and we don't see any more surges in the virus, on June 26th, phase four activities will be allowed, which includes opening up places of worship. So I don't know about you, but I'm just really thankful that we now have a plan in place with real dates. And we're going to pray later. You can be praying that we have no increases in the number of infections, that they'll continue to decrease, and we'll be able to follow this plan. It's been 9 weeks since March 14th when we were last able to have a worship service together. And we still have a long time to go. At least another 6 weeks before we can get back together to worship God together. And if all goes well, when it ends, we will have been in quarantine for 15 weeks. That's more than a quarter of a year, more than twice the number of days in the counting of the Omer. And other parts of New York, like New York City, the southern part of our state, could be in quarantine for significantly longer. So what I experienced, and I'm sure you have too, is that people's attitudes during this time are very much, oh, I wish this were over. I'm going stir crazy. I've got cabin fever. I'm running out of patience. So I want to address some of those attitudes today and try to give you some help from looking at things from a biblical perspective. We're going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, which says this. Now, if you listen obedient to the voice of Adonai, the Lord, your God, taking care to do all his mitzvot, or commandments, that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, if you listen to the voice of Adonai, your God. And the list of blessings goes on for another 12 verses. So we have here a promise of great blessing as the result of obedience to God. And then verse 15 says, but if you will not listen to the voice of Adonai, your God, to take care to do all his mitzvot and statutes that I am commanding you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And the list of curses goes on for another 53 verses. So this is the other side of this promise. The other side is the promise of negative consequences resulting from disobedience to God. And here are some of the negative promises, consequences that are relevant to us today. Verse 21, Adonai will make the plague cling to you until he has put an end to you from the land that you're going to possess. Verse 59, then Adonai will make your plagues and the plagues of your descendants extraordinary, terrible and prolonged plagues, severe and prolonged illnesses. In verse 60, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt that you were afraid of, and they will cling to you. Also, verse 61, also every illness and plague that is not written in the scroll of this Torah, Adonai will bring on you until you are destroyed. Now, some would say that this promise and its consequences only applies to the ancient Israel, but I believe it applies to all peoples and for all times. And another thing we need to understand about this is that although the text says Adonai the Lord will make and bring these things on us, I don't believe that God specifically sent the coronavirus upon the world like this. Here's what I believe. He established the universe with this law operative, this law in place, and that is that our actions have certain consequences, and that sickness, plagues, is one of the results of disobeying God, and health is one of the results of obedience. And now, we all know the whole world has been in great disobedience to him for a long, long time. For example, just take the area of abortion. Two-thirds of the world's population live in nations that allow abortions for a broad range of reasons. So we can see that the whole world has been in disobedience to God. And this is the thing that God put into place for what happens to those who are disobedient to him. There's another hard to understand aspect of the way God set up the universe and his laws. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, Yeshua says this, then you will become children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun shine on good and bad people alike. He sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So here we see Yeshua explaining that the Lord blesses both the righteous and the unrighteous with sun and rain. Therefore, both the righteous and the unrighteous are affected when a people is obedient. But conversely, they're also affected, both the righteous and the unrighteous, when a nation or a people are disobedient. So we see that some sicknesses are contagious and affect everyone, the righteous and the unrighteous. But we who love the Lord also have his wonderful promise. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, furthermore, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called in accordance with his purpose. He causes everything to work together for good for those who love him and are called by him. So, although the virus is contagious, many righteous have caught it, many righteous and unrighteous have died, he is causing it to work for good of those who love him and are called by him. If you love him and are called by him, God is doing something in your life that is good during and through this time. So, what is so unique about this time? Well, first of all, we all have much less we can do. All of us have less recreational and relational things that we can do, including those who are still working during these times. And those of us who are not working or working less, we have fewer productive things that we can do. So back in January, some of you may remember here in upstate New York, we were all adjusting to what we thought was a big change in our lifestyles. No more plastic bags in stores. We had to bring our own hefty shopping bags or pay for the bags. And then in March, with the start of the quarantine, life changed in a way that made the plastic bag change seem trivial. Life changed for the whole world. We have all been taken out of our comfort zones. We're all in unfamiliar territory. We are not going about business as usual. And so as I was praying about this week, I realized that the Bible is actually a book about people who were taken out of their comfort zones by God, by circumstances, or by other people. Going back to Genesis, think about how far out of his comfort zone Noah was, floating around in the world's first boat during the flood. Abraham, traveling through a strange land, Canaan. Jacob, having to leave his family because his brother was going to kill him and live with his uncle. Joseph, sold into slavery in Egypt by his jealous brothers. Moses, having to flee into the desert and live there for 40 years, then having to confront the Pharaoh, and then spending 80 days fasting on top of Mount Sinai. Joshua, having to conquer the promised land. Gideon, called to lead Israel against the Midianites. Ruth, leaving her people to live in Israel with Naomi. Esther, becoming the queen of Persia and having to save her people. Daniel, having to live in the exile in Babylon. Yeshua, leaving his carpentry shop to be a traveling teacher and then spending 40 days fasting in the desert. Yeshua's disciples leaving their families, their businesses, traveling with him, leaving everything to become fishers of men. Rabbi Shaul, leaving his life as an up-and-coming star among the Pharisees to be a follower of Yeshua. Spending years in the desert learning about Yeshua, learning about and from Yeshua. So what we see here is that most of the great heroes of the Bible were taken out of their comfort zones, either in preparation for some great task that was before them or as part of that great task. And it was all part of God's purpose, his destiny for their lives. And notice also that when their time out of their comfort zones was up, most of them had grown, they had matured, they were changed people. So as I understood this, I concluded that God is big, very big on taking people out of their comfort zones. And he's also big on using those times when people are outside their comfort zone to transform them, grow them, mature them, and for Yeshua's followers, conform them to the image of Yeshua. So right now, because of the coronavirus, the whole world is outside his comfort zone. And God is using this situation for his purposes. He's using it to change, grow, and mature his children, to enable each of us to fulfill our destiny. He's also using it to bring many who are out, not yet his children, into his family as they seek him for help because they are outside their comfort zone and struggling. This time, this understanding has made me so thankful that I know the Lord and live in a nation with freedom of religion. Can you imagine what life would be like now if you didn't know him? Or if you lived in a nation where you would be persecuted for following him? So God has a purpose for each of you while you are outside your comfort zone. He wants you to seek him, to learn what you're supposed to be doing here, to know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in your growth process. Does the Bible give us any insight into what he wants to do and what he wants to do in us? Well, we can learn from the list of others who are outside their comfort zone that I just read to you or spoke to you. Starting with Noah, while outside their comfort zone, most of them learned to trust in the Lord for provision, for protection, for direction. Joseph learned that God would fulfill his promises. Moses, Joshua, Gideon learned of God's enormous power. Esther learned that prayer was vital to overcoming satanic attacks. Daniel learned that God would protect him when he took stands for godliness in the face of persecution. Yeshua learned to use God's word to do battle with Satan, and that the Lord would direct him to fulfill his destiny, not as a carpenter working in wood, but crucified on a stake of wood as God's sacrifice for the sins of all humans for all time. We're going to look at Yeshua's disciples a little bit more later. But the Bible also gives us some specific instruction on three times when God ordained that his children should step away from business as usual, from their routine, to get out of their comfort zones. The first one is actually today, the Shabbat. In Exodus chapter 20, we read this in verse 10. But the seventh day is a Shabbat to Adonai your God. In it you shall not do any work, not you, nor your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, nor the outsider that is within your gates. So the weekly Shabbat is a time when you're not to work. And for some of you, this quarantine has been like a 42-day Shabbat so far. So we can see that there's a connection between Shabbat and what we don't think of as a Shabbat, which is this time of quarantine. So what did God expect people to do with their free time on Shabbat? Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember Yom Shabbat, the day of Shabbat. Keep it holy. And the word holy here is kadosh, which means separated, dedicated to the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:15, you must remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Adonai your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Adonai your God commanded you to keep Yom Shabbat. So we are to remember, the people were to remember, God's great deliverance of our people from slavery in Egypt. And as Isaiah 58, verse 13 says, call Shabbat a delight, the holy day of Adonai honorable. They were to delight and honor Shabbat, and we are today to be delighting and honoring the Shabbat. Leviticus 23, verse 3, work may be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You are to do no work. It is a Shabbat to Adonai in all your dwellings. So on Shabbat, we are to rest, have a holy convocation, a gathering, a worship time together to draw near to him and spend time with him. What's the second time outside our comfort zones? It's commanded by God in last week's Parsha, the sabbatical year that came every 7 years and the Jubilee year that came every 50 years. For those who are not working this time of quarantine, it's like a quarter of a sabbatical year when working the land ceased for a whole year. Therefore, food processing, transporting, selling in the market all ceased. So people whose full-time job involved those activities were also idle. What did the farmers do during those years? I know some farmers, and they're high-energy people. God has to deal strongly with them just to get them to take a Shabbat one day a week. How did they handle taking a whole year off every 7 years and 2 years off every 50 years? Well, it's a problem to find an answer to that in Scripture. Here's why. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 21, it says this, in fulfillment of the word of Adonai by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had paid back her Shabbat rests, for as long as it lay desolate, the Shabbat was kept till 70 years were complete. This verse is referring to the 70-year Babylonian exile, of which each year was a year of being in exile to make up for the fact that Israel had not observed the sabbatical year every 7 years. So that's 7 times 7, that's 490 years. And the Scripture does not record anywhere that the sabbatical years were actually kept. So the answer is, perhaps they never did keep it. They disobeyed. But God commanded it to be done. So we know he considered it important. Now, God was concerned that the land gets its rest. So we understand that that's good for the land. But he also commanded this sabbatical year for the good of his people, because he knew they needed the time off to draw near to him. Even though they took a day off of Shabbat each week, God knew they needed more than that, a year of Shabbat each 7 years. So what did he want them to do? Well, I believe it was the same as for the weekly Shabbat, but to go deeper. He wanted the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what was in their hearts. He wanted them to step back and evaluate their lives to see if their goals were in line with his goals. He wanted them to plan for what their lives would be like when they came out of the sabbatical year, and to have the patience to wait for up to 2 years for his timing, for this time to end, so they could resume normal life with a new outlook. So that's two. The third relevant time to our quarantine is in the New Covenant. And it may surprise some of you, surprised me when I found it. Yeshua traveled all around Israel for 3 years, proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing the sick, driving out demons, calling for repentance, forgiving those who had repented, making disciples. He was crucified, and on the third day, first fruits, he rose from the dead. Then he met with his disciples during the next 40 days. Now, what we see here is that Yeshua's public ministry, his activities, stopped when he was crucified. There's also no record during those 50 days of his disciples doing the things that he did, proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing the sick, etc. What did they do? Well, in Acts chapter 1, we read this in verse 3. After his death, Yeshua's death, he showed himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Praise God. During a period of 40 days, they saw him, and he spoke with them about the kingdom of God. So he taught, and they learned from him during these 50 days, in Acts, or 40 days. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, these all devoted themselves single-mindedly to prayer, along with some women, including Miriam, Yeshua's mothers, and his brothers. They prayed, and they prayed together. And one of his disciples, Judas, betrayed Yeshua and then committed suicide. And in verse 21 of Acts 1, we read this, "Therefore, one of the men who have been with us continuously throughout the time of the Lord Yeshua traveled around among us." Verse 22, "From the time Yochanan was immersing people until the day Yeshua was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they found it necessary to replace Judas because they had faith that God had something for them to do collectively as the body of Messiah. And that would require all 12 of them to fulfill their roles. So all this was done in preparation for what was going to happen on the 50th day. Now we are approaching the 40th day, coming this Thursday, May 21st, when Yeshua ascended. And then for 10 days, he was not with them teaching, and they weren't in his presence. They were just waiting and praying. And then after those last 10 days, 50 days after his resurrection on Shavuot, he sent the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to fill to the overflowing and empower his disciples. And all his disciples were empowered to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, to drive out demons, to call for repentance, to forgive those who repented. And those disciples were empowered to make other disciples who would do the same and would make more disciples who would do the same. So that after those 50 days, God empowered Yeshua's disciples to do something greater than Yeshua had done. Instead of one person proclaiming the kingdom of God and healing the sick and driving out demons and calling for repentance, forgiving those who repented and making disciples, there would now be a multitude doing that. And that multitude would multiply rapidly. So rapidly that 20 years later, when Yeshua's disciples came to Thessalonica, people said this in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, "These men who have turned the whole world upside down have come here too." So in 20 short years, the whole Roman Empire was turned upside down. So based on these three biblical examples of what we would call sabbatical or out of your comfort zone times, what are you supposed to be doing during this time? Well, we learn from the weekly Shabbat, you are to keep this time holy, set apart for the Lord, at least some of this time, and to remember God's great deliverance of our ancestors, but also of yourself. I know I experienced a great deliverance from God, and many of you did. You are to call this time a delight. That's a tough one. Everybody's been complaining about it. A delight because you have more time to be with the Lord. But, you know, you can only have a delight in this time if you are trusting the Lord for your provision through this time. And you are to participate in holy convocations, worship with others, even though you have to do it online, and draw near to him, spend time with him, listening to him. And we learn from the sabbatical year and the Jubilee years that one of Satan's most effective weapons against the body of Messiah has been the spirit of busyness, especially in our American society. And during this extended quarantine time, just like during the sabbatical years or during the Jubilee years, the power of the spirit of busyness has been broken. It can no longer manipulate you. you are free to do what is important in the Spirit. So I pray that we're going to pray later that the Holy Spirit would reveal this to you and you would be able to overcome that spirit of busyness. And that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you what is in your heart and the things that need to be dealt with and the things that need to be strengthened. That you would be able to evaluate where your life is going and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance for the coming time when the quarantine is over. Learn His plan for your life for the future and prepare to resume normal life with a new outlook. And this is the tough part, wait patiently for the Lord's timing to step out in your new direction. We also learn what to do from the 50 days stretching from first fruits to Shavuot when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Yeshua's disciples. We learn from their example to study His word, learn from Him alone or with others, to pray alone or together with others, to pray about our roles in the body of Messiah and to prepare to step into them. And plus, we can learn from those who are taken out of our comfort zones. Remember that list? God is training you during this time to trust Him for provision, for protection, for direction, to trust that He will fulfill His promises to you. And He's training you not to use natural weapons in your battles with satanic opposition, but to use the supernatural weapons God has given you, His word, His name, His authority, His blood, the gift of discerning of spirits, faith, the good news, truth. He's training you to take stands for godliness and trust that God will protect you even in the face of persecution. God is going to do much more during this time out of your comfort zone than these lessons from Scripture teach. He wants to give you new vision for your life, a new sense of purpose, new confidence that you have an awesome identity, that you will bear fruit for His kingdom, and that that fruit will remain. New strategies of how to fulfill your destiny. But to receive that vision, that purpose, those strategies, you have to do what He wants you to do with this special gift of time that He has given you. You have to spend time in His presence, not just praying and singing, but listening for His voice. You're invited to join our congregation's online gatherings. Just listen to the announcements and check out our Facebook page or website for details. And here are some questions to ask yourself. When the quarantine is over, how will you be different? When they are available, what will you allow back into your life? What things you've not been able to do will you keep not doing? What things you did during the quarantine will you keep doing? What have you learned during the quarantine that will have a positive effect on your life, your attitudes, your behavior when this quarantine ends? When the quarantine is over, here are my resolutions. You can adopt any you feel led to adopt. I resolve to continue to pray more, to study the word more, to worship more. I will be so grateful for the little things that bring joy to life. Friends, the beauty of nature, especially even today as the warm weather came back. For pets, for good food, for air without a mask, for hands without gloves, for interaction with people without fear. For a time when the number of deaths is not being reported daily. I will be grateful for hugs, for table fellowship, for being able to have a cup of coffee with a friend, for being able to visit others and be visited, for being able to hear from God in these trying times. I will be grateful for the electronic means of communication that we have that have been such a help during these times. And I'm going to invest more money and time and energy in learning to use them. I'll be grateful for this kind of quarantine because I know the Lord is doing important things in my life during this time. So those are my resolutions for the time when we get out. So how will we as a congregation use what we've learned during this quarantine to better fulfill our purposes? Well, when we can reopen, I believe people will come back to our services because of their love and need for fellowship. Otherwise, they could continue to just watch us online. It's more convenient, or they can watch someone else online. So we're going to be prioritizing opportunities for fellowship. We're aiming to have two kiddushim, two fellowship times after our services every month, and Moedim celebrations for the holidays. live streaming is going to be a high priority because we've had lots of people tuning in who are not even in this area. And we must improve our Facebook and website presence. We must develop a presence on Twitter and Instagram because that's what the next generation is using to communicate. Our Beit HaLamida, our House of Learning community classes will be open in person, and I'm hoping they're going to be online too. Pastor Tom will restart the classes that he's doing right now on depression and the Grace Course, and we'll put in place virtual prayer meetings every weekday evening as well as every weekday morning, as well as Thursday evening and Saturday morning prayer meetings that you can join online or be there. And we're continuing the online, in-person, Erev Shabbat Parsha group that studies on Friday evenings. We're going to make My Messianic Judaism class, both in person and online. We're going to make the Spiritual Roots class, both in person and online. So, finally, I've heard an important message from the Lord for each of you. He's saying to you, through your time outside your comfort zone, I am empowering each of you to be more like Yeshua and to do greater things when this quarantine ends. I'm empowering each of you personally, and I'm empowering Congregation Shema Israel. The Lord has decreed you will return more fruitful for the kingdom of God, and our congregation will be more fruitful for the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much that our region began opening yesterday. And I pray, Father, through the people who are going back to work and the customers that they'll encounter, that you give them wisdom and how to prevent an increase in infections. I pray that the decrease in the numbers of infections may continue. And Lord, we humble ourselves. We repent of our nation's sins, our region's sins, and we turn from our disobedience and pray for you to heal our land. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to those who don't know you and are struggling through these times. And Lord, we thank you for using these times when we are outside our comfort zones. And we pray that through this experience outside our comfort zones, Lord, that you would train us to trust in you for our provision, for our protection, for our direction, to trust that you will fulfill your promises to each of us, that you will train us to grasp the immensity of your power. We pray that you would train us to use our supernatural weapons that you've given us to overcome satanic attacks, that we would be able to effectively use your word, your name, your authority, your blood, our testimonies, our faith, our gifts of discerning of spirits, all of these weapons that you have given us. And we pray, Lord, that you would train us to trust you for protection and take stands for godliness, even in the face of persecution. Lord, help us to get rid of the impatient, complaining, grumbling attitude and to consider this time as Shabbat, holy, separated, kadosh, dedicated to you, and to delight and honor this time as a Shabbat. And Lord, we remember on Shabbat, and we remember right now, your great deliverance of our people from slavery in Egypt, and your great deliverance for each of us from the slavery to sin, Father. And so we pray, Father, that you would train us during this time to rest, to draw near to you, to spend time with you. And we thank you for making a way, Lord, that we could have a holy convocation and worship together online. Use this time, Father, to reveal to us what is in our hearts and enable us to evaluate our lives and see if our goals are in line with your goal for each one of us. Help us, Lord, to have patience to wait for your timing. Help us to learn from your word during this time, alone or with others. Anoint our times of prayer, Father, alone and together with others. And show us your plan for each of our lives when the quarantine is over. Show us our role that each of us has in the body and prepare us to step into it and take it. And Father, give us that vision that you have for our lives and strengthen our sense of purpose. Give us the confidence that each of us has an awesome identity and that we will bear fruit for your kingdom, fruit that remains. And give us and new and effective strategies to fulfill our destinies. And finally, Lord, conform each of us to the image of Yeshua and enable us to do those greater things. Empower our congregation, Lord, to be more effective and fruitful for the kingdom of God. We ask all these things in the awesome name of Yeshua. Amen.